And we everybody suffered from the Blitz. The Blitz, England was almost destroyed completely. It was saved also through miracles. The forces of the Nazis much stronger. But Baruch Hashem, we survived. And he, in that situation, he expressed deep ideas of how to cope with the Holocaust from the point of view of a deep understanding of the purpose of life, and life especially of the Jewish people. And he built up the famous quote within Gates of the Earth. We'll see soon. So I don't know, have I answered your question? You want to ask any other matters in this connection?
Okay, I'll ask. Forgetting international relations.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's a pointed question. If I do a mitzvah,
yeah.
We're assuming we're in an even balance now.
Yeah.
And I do the mitzvah at 50.1. Let's say it creates 0.1.
Yeah.
And everyone here does one. Is the world continuously balanced to 50.27 until it reaches 100%, and there is no counterbalancing effect? Will all the evil then disappear if we all do the mitzvahs to 100%?
How Hashem runs the world and what he considers to be a sufficiently high level to bring destruction on Muslim mankind of evil, or sufficiently high level of good, that is beyond our understanding. And only Hashem knows. And certainly it doesn't go with numbers, it doesn't go with statistics, it goes with the higher concepts of divine providence. We know, we say it, part of all this concept which is mentioned in the last song of Moshe Rabbeinu, last part of the Torah, that Hatzur Tamim Polo, we say, he's the rock, all whose works are perfect. And there's no iniquity in him. Yichol Rachav Mishpat, all his paths are paths of justice. But to start calculating, that's not for us. We just have to recognize each one of us is responsible for fulfilling the maximum power of saintliness that God has given him, according to circumstances. But, you know, which type of action is considered good? He said there may be, let's say, an action which a person does because it is his environment, so that's not considered something great. There may be something which a person does against an evil environment, can be very great. If a Swedish diplomat who in a society governed by the Nazis, but he had certain immunity and used it to save the lives of 100,000 people, even going with the trains that were on their way to Auschwitz, and he knew what was going on there. People didn't really know, but he threw out permits for them to be able to escape, get out of the country. Left, right, and center, and saved 100,000 Jews. Maybe that brought the situation that ultimately Hitler fell, together with his Muslim partner. So we don't know how Hashem calculates things, and it was a great error for us to try to imagine that we human beings can enter into all the different calculations of Hashem, because we have complete faith that Hashem is perfect, His ways are perfect, and He knows what He's doing. And many things that happen in the world, you can't easily explain according to laws of cause and effect. Even let's say what's happened now to Turkey, I'll give you an example, where the previous Prime Minister, President, he thought for sure he's got the largest party, he's going to rule the country. He became really supporter, more or less, of Hamas and others. We went very extreme. But Baruch Hashem, that the Kurds, although they had a smaller party, but they're the ones, together with their allies, who have caused him to lose his position. So we hope now this is going to be a help also to protect us, at least from the way in which Hamas and Hezbollah and so on were supported even by Turkey. So Hashem leads things. If Hashem has brought it about that Obama's got this turn face, well, we'll see what's going to happen to him, because Hashem might, because of his extreme, even personal attacks on the Prime Minister, we're going to see what the outcome will be. And we have to believe in Pesiyat Dishmaya that he'll help us and help the world by not treating Iran with kid gloves, as he's doing. And that logic will take the place of it's an ambiguous and ambivalent relationship towards the threats of nuclear forces being used in any part of the world. In fact, she's constantly threatening that Israel is going to obliterate. So let's hope that, you know, as we say, after Lepume, there should be dust and destruction to these words, that this will not happen. So, in any case, as I gave you yesterday these sheets, just there, just to make a small start. I'll give them out to anybody else who reads Hebrew. And the concept which Abdesla develops here is one already developed a great deal by the Prophet Chaim. Prophet Chaim says frequently that we have, it's written really in the prophets, Prophet Yeshaya and other prophets, that when anything happens in the world, it is Musa for the people of Israel. It's a lesson for us. And therefore he says, surely, the terrible suffering that, this was written in the beginning of the war, at the time of the, I think the time of the Blitz, 1940-41. It says, all the suffering, we don't know clearly what lies behind it, but it's something to teach us Musa. So when we're in such a situation where we have such terrible suffering, and it doesn't teach us anything, then the question arises, Ma'amor kasher nukachim kol ilu esirim asir ve'inuim. All these sufferings don't teach us anything. Then we believe Mesim Nishamat Sashela. Then, obviously, the question arises: the Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, May Matara Shel Aseiv La'Pil Tipusei. What is the ultimate target of the continuous suffering? Im Ein Human Amdenim Uma. If it doesn't teach us anything, what is their purpose? Are we becoming more evil? We are looking for an answer for this. There are even many who ask many questions and claim, how is it possible Shashem B'tova in Sofi Ibrahim Harim Yashe Sebe Korach, that Hashem, whose compassion is infinite and his goodness is infinite, how can he allow such suffering? So, I'm not going to his answer now. I'll just tell you an experience. I used to give on Tisha B'Av quite frequently talks in Yad Vashem. And if you go to Yad Vashem Tisha B'Av, there was a film there, a film of the Holocaust, and it ends with the question, where was God? So, anyway, I gave a little talk, I'm not going into detail, I'm just going to say where was man? That's really, it's a challenge to the human being, because the human being is being freedom, kill, or to work for life. We find one of the first episodes related in Chumash is when there were only Adam and Chava, Cain and Abel, and once it's mentioned explicitly, the world. So Cain got up and killed a quarter of mankind. And Hashem permitted it. Well, Hashem has given freedom to man to help people live, also to kill them. That's the freedom of human being. And we have to learn that Hashem has said, look, you're given choice. The whole concept, Eight Adar, top of life, is we give choice between good and evil. And if we choose evil, we destroy the world and destroy ourselves. That's what's happening in the Holocaust. Because the evil is permitted to grow too much. So where was man? Could have been stopped. For sure it could have been stopped. That's one aspect of it. Rav Dessler goes into much deeper, and we'll go into this. I'll just say it, so you know that this is a basic question people ask today as well. If the people of Israel are God's chosen people, so then why doesn't God look after them completely? Well, we say, we do see signs that God looks after us, not so completely, but maybe we don't dedicate ourselves enough to Him completely. So after this question, so then we'll see the approach adopted here concerning the birth pangs of the Mashiach and what it means, and why that could be birth pangs, and why sometimes the birth pangs in part also creates stillbirths. You know, if we don't fulfill our complete role. So we leave that question for next year. Anybody want to keep this? If you don't want to keep, we'll give them back to you. Thank you.